of the Word of God and the power of songs. You know why songs are so important? There's great power in the words of the songs that sing about the redeeming Savior. Amen. I was listening. How many of you know the song, He Knows My Name? He hung the stars. And I was listening to Scott Matthews, and he was telling how the kids were learning this song because the pastor was preaching a message. And he said, I really loved that song. And he said it would just go with this message. And the kids decided to go off in a side room there after the service and just learn that song for the pastor to go with the message that was being preached. And they got up that night, and they was getting ready to sing that song. And Brother Scott said he got a call from one of his friends that was at another church in Alabama. And he said, as he was telling them that the kids were learning that song, he said, let me tell you a story. He said, we had a missionary in this church down here with us from Mexico. And he was here, and our young people were singing that song. And they got to singing, He Knows My Name. And it was just a regular service. And he said he got up in the middle of that service, and he says, I got to just share something with you all right now. He said, that might just be words to you. He said, but let me tell you something. It's power to me. He said, not long ago, as we was in Mexico, we were still on the field before we come home on deputation. We were going back into the city where we served. And as we were heading back into the city, the traffic started backing up. There was a roadblock ahead. And we seen armed men with automatic weapons and had masks over their face. And we knew right away it was the drug cartel. And he said, all the cars were stopped. There was no place to go. Armed men all around you. And he said, as we stopped the car there and we waited in line to see what would happen, they went to the first car in line and they drug the man that was in the driver's seat out of the driver's seat, and they drug him off to the side and they beat the man to death. He said, they went to the next car and they opened the door and they drug the man out of the car and they beat him to death. And as they walked towards my car, I knew that I was next. And can you imagine what is going through your mind when your wife and your children are in the car with you and you know what has just happened in front of you and what they're going to see and what they're going to witness is about to happen. And he said, when the man come to our car and he got a hold of the car door and got ready to open the door, he just paused and he walked on and they went to the car behind us and they drug the man out of the car that was in the driver's seat and they literally beat him to death, and they started doing this all the way down the line. What made the difference, he said, was in our car, we had a CD in that was playing, He Knows My Name. Amen. And when that man come by, I don't know what it was, but that song was playing, He Knows My Name, and he passed right on by. And he said, friends, you might not think that God is unaware of what's going on, but he knows your name in the middle of a desert in Mexico when horror is happening all around you. He said a few moments later, he said the federal police showed up and a shootout ensued. He said, I got my family out of the car and laid in the ditch, and somehow on the way out of the car somebody hit repeat on that CD player, and he said for 7 hours as we laid in the ditch as a gunfight ensued between the federal police and the drug cartel, all you could hear blaring was, He Knows My Name, over the gunshots. Let me tell you something. Why is singing in the house of God so important? He knows your name, and if He knows your name, it's important for us to proclaim His. Amen. There's power in these songs that we sing. There's power in the Word of God. Amen. And we miss it so much because we want to leave everything. And you know, I'm getting passionate about this. I'm seeing what is happening. I'm beginning to see it. I've had other preachers tell me, look at what's happening when we're letting the singing, the congregational singing. We need to be singing about the power of His name. Amen. Hey, man. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. And let me tell you what. In your darkest hour, when you face your greatest trial, Amen. He don't show up as the lowly Jesus. Amen. He shows up as the author and the finisher, the conqueror of all that you stand in need of. Amen. There's power in the songs that are sung. If they're singing about the one that has the power. It's like Brother Jeff said, there's no power in prayer. There's power in the one that we're singing, we're praying to. Amen. Prayer gets things done. Let me tell you what, singing can get some things done too. I'm like Sister Sherry, I like them Bible songs. We all ought to learn them Bible songs. If you forget, you notice how songs are popular? And they might be popular for a year or two and then you don't hear them. Whatever happened to My Redeemer Liveth? Man, I love that song. I know My Redeemer Liveth. Man, here a few years ago, everybody in the country was singing it. Every woman in this part of the country that could sing was singing, I know My Redeemer Liveth. When was the last time you heard anybody sing it? We done forgot about it. Amen. But let me tell you what, when you memorize these songs that are in this old book, amen. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Man, I tell you what, that's a plea from a desperate heart to one that is able to get the job done. Amen. Deb, come. I want my wife to sing this song tonight. And I hope it blesses you as much as it blesses us. In one of our darkest days, a friend of ours that I had invited to come and sing at revival sang this song. I don't have it marked. Praise his name. And it blessed our heart. And through tears and through great confidence in him, we found that we had everything we needed, even though we thought we had lost all, because we had Jesus.
When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize life's not always fair. You can run away and hide, let the old man decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me. And he'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is he that is within me. You can praise the hurt away. Oh, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. You'll feel the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone, so how can you be lonely? When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. take the pain away. When you feel you can't go on, praise His name. When you feel you're all alone, just raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. You can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name.
Amen. Tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I'll try to preach fast if you listen fast. And when your life is overwhelmed, when you feel that you got more on you than you can bear, I got good news for you. There's a place to go. The Lord said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And when He says all, what does He mean? All? Is there any too little that you can't cast on Him? Is there any so big that He can't handle? No. He says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And that's what we need to do. Here tonight in this passage of Scripture we're going to read, we're going to see somebody that was facing something. You know, we read throughout the Bible and we see where God has answered prayer and people begin to sing songs of praises. Amen. Leah sang a song of praise when Judah was born. We see the children of Israel, they sang a song of praise when Pharaoh's army was destroyed. We see Hannah as she gives birth to Samuel, she sings a song of praise because of what God has done and how God has delivered. We see Deborah and Balak as they sing a song of praise because they got victory during the time of battle. We see all these people who are praising God in the midst of all the great things and good things that are going on. But I wanted to tell you something. The people that are praising God because of the good things that have happened are the people I believe that learned to praise God even when the bad things were happening, and that's where they found victory in their life. As we read our text scripture here this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, whatever it is here, we're going to read about Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel. Now the children of Ammon and the children of Moab and a great army have come to attack them, and they see no hope, they see no help, they see no recourse. They see that they're overwhelmed and they don't know what to do, and they are just trying to decide what to do in the midst of everything that's going on. And God reminds them that He's still their God. Amen. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded that God is still. That's why it's important to come to church. Amen. That's why it's important to hang out with Christian people. That's why it's important to listen to Christian music in your automobile when you're going up and down the road. It reminds you that you're still God's. Look, as we pick up here in verse number 14, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And He said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of the Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And look, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they set forth Jehoshaphat. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Brother Ron Brooks, would you take us to the throne of grace for a moment? You see, before the battle was even won, just because they had been reminded of whose they were and who they belonged to and who was going to fight the battle, who was going to give the victory, they began to worship and to praise in God. Amen. You know, sometimes we can turn things around if we would learn how to follow God's plan for our life. And his plan is simple. It's trust him. Amen. It's trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Amen. Faith in God and in God alone. That's what gives us victory. That's what gets us through the valleys. That's what brings us through the battles. That's what gets us through the trials and brings us through the fire and takes us through the flood. And it's trusting in God because he said he was going to be there for us. He said he would bring us through. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. But there's a method to God's plan. If you flip over in your Bibles for a moment, over into Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I'm going to tell you something about praise tonight. Something that God's Word shows us about praise. Hebrews chapter number 13. The Bible says down in verse number 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Amen. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, when we go back into 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, and you might as well hold your finger, we're going to be flipping back and forth. Should have told you that beforehand, didn't I? Amen. We see that in verse number 17, that if we're going to praise God, there in Hebrews it tells us, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." What have we got to praise if we don't have God? What have we got to praise for if we don't have the Lord? We don't praise him because of the circumstances alone. Man, I like to praise him for the victories that he gives. But if I only praise him in the victories, what's going to happen when I'm in the valleys? Amen? We don't praise him because of our ability to get us in and out of our situations and our troubles. David was a cunning fella. Sometimes he'd get himself out of trouble because of his ability. And remember when he faked to be mad in front of Achish? Acted like he was crazy. Spit running down his beard and everything else. And he was standing right before the enemy king. And they let him go. All his advisors said, "Look, this is David, the one that kills all." They sing about him killing all the Philistines. We're the Philistines. Do you understand this? And, you know, but we got him right here, right now, and we got him outnumbered. We got everything going against him, and why don't we kill him? And David, by his own cunning, had just began to feign like he was crazy. And he said, you got to be crazy. He doesn't come down here. Amen. Look, he's no harm to us. He's a crazy man. Just let him go. He's no more of a harm to us. Sometimes we think that we got something to praise about because of our own abilities. So sometimes we praise God simply because of what he's done. Sometimes we need to realize that our praise can't come just because of all the good stuff that happens. Amen. We only want to praise God when everything happens the way that we want it to. But you know what? God sees what we don't. God knows what we don't. And God can move where we're unable. Amen. If we're going to get our praise on, we'd better learn that the only way it's going to happen is through Him. Amen. It's through His power. We got to stop and remember, He reminded them here that He's their God. The battle's His to fight. He's going to give the victory. He's going to give direction. He's going to do what needs to be done. And if you're going to get victory in your life and you want to get your praise on, you better get Him on. Amen. And the Bible tells us several times in the New Testament that we need to put on Christ. You can't get a praise on until you get Jesus on, because without Jesus on, you have nothing to praise on. Amen. Over in Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And he just got done telling us to flee all these lustful things. Amen. But you know, one of the things that we make provision for in our flesh is pity parties. Because we don't put Jesus on. We get up in the morning, and if I get up in the morning and all I got's Dennis on, my day's miserable. Amen? If I ain't got a thing in this world to brag on me. Amen? I can brag about Jesus. I can brag about what Jesus has done for me. I can brag about what Jesus has done through me. I can brag about what Jesus has done to me. But I have nothing to brag about of me. Amen? He says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." You see, in the first place, you got to get your frame of mind right, and you got to put on Jesus. And Galatians chapter number 3, verse 27, "For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Amen? We need to have Christ shining in our lives, and when people look at us, they need to see Jesus. Amen? Amen? When people are around us, that they need to understand that, man, he's put on Christ. He's got Jesus popping out all over the place, and he's able to get his praise on because he's done put Jesus on. Amen. When you get Jesus into the situation, let me tell you something. When you get up and you got your pity pants on, amen, and you want to pity yourself, just throw them aside and put Jesus on. Amen. And he'll give you something to begin to praise him about. Amen. He'll give you something that'll lift you out of the place where you are and take you to a place where you never dreamed that you could be. When Jehoshaphat and all of Israel and Jerusalem looked out and they seen this great army that was coming, they had nothing in and of themselves to praise, but because God had showed up and God had reminded them and God had told them he's their God, and as long as he's their God, they've got victory in their life. They had something to begin to praise him about, and the battle hadn't even been won yet. Amen. Amen. They hadn't even defeated the enemy yet. They didn't even know how it was going to happen. All they knew was God said it was going to happen. Amen. God don't tell us all the time how he's going to do it. But praise God, I'm glad he told me that he will do it. Amen. 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 Number one, you want to get past your circumstances, put Jesus on. Amen. Amen. Because by him. By him. You see, when the praise got started, when did the praise get started? After the worship began. Amen. What's worship about? Exonerating and uplifting and adoring the Lord. Man, when they began to put Jesus on, It couldn't be helped. There was a bunch of them up there that couldn't contain themselves anymore. You see, they got in that place where worship was taking place, and God was being honored, and God was being praised. And pretty soon, they couldn't help but begin to praise Him and thank Him and give glory unto His name for what He was doing. Amen. When they put Jesus on, they began to praise His name. Amen. When they put Jesus on, the praise come easily. When they put Jesus on, even as they marched out to battle, who went ahead of the army? It was the people that was singing the praises. Amen. 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 And they're singing praises about what God's going to do, and He hadn't even done it yet. Amen. He's going to do something in your life. You might not know it yet, but He's going to do it. Yeah. Amen. And you know what? All you got to do is trust Him to do it. Depend on Him. Hey, man. I heard Brother Joe Arthur preach the other night up to the campground. And something that he said and something that he touched on as he was preaching. And God just said, there's a message right there. And the Lord willing, I'll be preaching it soon as soon as He gives me liberty to preach it. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we don't realize what we have. Right. Right. Amen. Until He reminds us who He is. Amen. So number one, we got to praise Him. The only way that we can praise is by Him. He says, by Him therefore. Him, Jesus. Him, the Lord. Him, the one that gives victory. Him, the one that brings peace to our life. By Him therefore. I always like it. They say, when you see therefore in the Bible, you need to stop and see what it's there for. In the midst of everything that they're going through, in the midst of all the trouble, because Jesus had died. Let me go for you. Verse number 13, He says, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach, for we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I don't have anything down here. I'm not promised anything down here. But trials and tribulations, rejection and reproach. He said, let us bear His reproach. Let us not worry about it, because we don't have a continuing city down here, but we got one to come. And then by Him, therefore, because we have nothing down here that's worth getting involved with, worth getting entangled in, lifting our voices to praise Him for, let's praise Him because of Him and for who He is and for what He's done for us. Let's praise Him. Amen. And not the circumstances, not the situations. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The sacrifice of praise. If you're going to praise God, it's going to have to cost you something. You know what a sacrifice is? That's surrendering or giving up something for something that's better. Amen. What is it that you need to sacrifice in your heart and in your life to get your praise on? That's what you got to ask yourself. Why don't I have joy? Why am I happy? Why can't I praise the Lord like I want to? Why can't I shout in the church? Why do other people get happy? Why is this bunch over here shouting and I'm sitting over here and I'm not feeling anything? Let me tell you why. They done got rid of some stuff that was keeping them from their praise. Amen. They was willing to sacrifice some of the worldly cares, some of the worldly burdens, some of the worldly things that was holding them back from praising God, and when they was willing to sacrifice those things, they got their praise on. Amen. You know why the church house is so quiet today? We don't want to sacrifice some things to get our praise on. Amen. He said, let us offer the sacrifice. Do you ever think about praise being a sacrifice? We don't want to think about it that way. Praise is just something I give. Praise needs to be a sacrifice. Amen? It needs. David, when he went down to offer or to worship God and to offer a sacrifice at the threshing floor of Jephunneh, and Jephunneh seen him coming, and when he, or Ornan, both names are right, Ornan or Jephunneh. As he seen him coming, he said, here, I'll sell it to you, and I'll even give you the oxen and the threshing instruments for the sacrifice. And David said, no. He said, that can't happen. He said, I can't sacrifice. I can't worship God unless it costs me something. Do you remember that story? If you don't, go back and read it. If you're going to worship God, if you're going to praise Him, it's going to cost you something. Amen? And you'll never get your praise on. You'll never get to the place where you need to be. You'll never get past your circumstances. You'll never get past the people that are aggravating you and frustrating you. And let me tell you what, there's nothing more aggravating in this world than dealing with people. Now you are one, and you deal with some. You should be ready to shout the house down right there. People can just plumb aggravate the snot right out of you. Amen. I shared with a lot of you this morning, some in Sunday school, some of you wasn't here, but I did a funeral yesterday. And a bunch of unchurched people in a church. They never went to church, but they had a funeral in a church. And they were running around there before service, and I'm listening to them, and man, they're profanity, just a slinging profanity, just a going. And I was getting disgusted. I said, man, why in the world? I didn't want to. Yeah, you know, I just got a bad, I'm just be honest with you. You know, after a little bit of it, you just kind of get a bad attitude. People can get you that way. Amen. Amen. And I could have let that bad attitude ruin a great opportunity. But I didn't. I went ahead and preached. And when I got done, the sound man and his wife were the only two there from the church. And I apologized to them for the language. I did have to tell them to watch the language, be mindful of where they were. But to them, they're unchurched. It's just another building. And his wife said to me, said, I've never seen anybody get the gospel to unchurched people. Wait, you know what? I had to sacrifice my pride.
That's right.
I had to put myself aside. I had to get me out of the way and let God. I didn't know how God was going to do it. I said, man, I know I got to get them the gospel. And that's my goal with every.
Yes.
I'm not preaching to the dead people. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching to those that are alive, to those that need Jesus. Amen. And I wanted the gospel to get to them, but I had to get me out of the way. I had to get my attitude out of the way. I had to get myself the hindrance to God being able to work out of the way before He could begin to do what He needed to do. She said, so I was like, man, I just can't get over it. You got the gospel to them. I've never seen anybody do it like it. It's God. But you know what? It couldn't happen. God couldn't get praised. God couldn't get glorified until I got out of the way. Amen. Sometimes the only thing that's holding me back from getting my praise on is me. Because I'm not willing to sacrifice myself. I'm not worried. I'm not willing to give up what I think, feel, or know and let God have His way. He said, by Him, therefore, we can't do it without Him. Let us offer the sacrifice, and it's going to cost us the praise of praise continually. Not just when things are good. Not just when the battle's over and you've won. Amen. When did they start the praising? When they were reminded who they belonged to. When they were reminded who their God was. When they were reminded what their God can do. Amen. That's when they got their praise on. The battle hadn't even been won yet, and they're already praising God. Amen. If you got God on your side, the battle's already won anyway. Amen. It might not be looking like it to you. All you can see is darkness. All you can see is the army. Remember Elijah and his servant down there in Dothan, when the army of Assyria camped around him, and they got up in the morning, and they were surrounded by the Assyrian army, and his servant said, look, master, what are we going to do? How's it going to go? Look at this great army that's out there. And Elijah prayed unto God, said, God, open his eyes and let him see what I see. I tell you what, and when he opened his eyes, he seen the hills around about them were surrounded by the army of the living God. Amen. God didn't leave his people deserted. God didn't leave his people to fend for themselves. He sent his army there, and they were encamped around about them, and the Assyrian army might have looked mighty, but praise God, when he seen the army of the living God, he got more excited, he got more happy, he got more praise going on. He started shouting the house down because of what he saw, and who he saw, and how he saw it. Amen. Amen. See, sometimes we just got to say, God, open my eyes. God, just let me see you in all this. Amen. We can't wait when everything is just hunky-dory. In the darkest hours, in the darkest moments, Elijah was down there and the Assyrians were there. That meant nothing to him. He's just praising God. Amen. Probably running around the walls of the city and the Assyrian army's out there. They're encamped all around about him. Oh, brother Elijah is running around there singing, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and grief. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it would be like? Amen. Everybody's fearful. Everybody's cowering in the corner. And here's this old man of God just walking around the walls of the city, singing the praises of God, singing just how good God delivers again. Amen. I'm glad he delivers. Amen. The battle's not mine, said little David. Amen. I could just imagine all these things that are going through his mind. He's thinking about the times that God had brought his people through, and God had never deserted. God had never forsaken him. God had never forgot him. And God reminded him who he belonged to. And he could walk around that city when it looked hopeless. And he found help in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. See, one of the secrets to getting your praise on is having an attitude of praise about you. That's why he says continue. What's continually mean? All the time. Why? Because all the time. And God is good. Amen. So why not get your praise on? Amen. I don't understand it. I don't know. I cut my leg off. That machine liked to rip my leg all the way off, and they were getting ready to amputate it. The doctor said, we're going to take you in. We're going to finish doing the amputation, and we're going to try to get it below the knee if we can, if everything ain't tore up so bad, and blah, 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 blah. And he's going on. He's apologizing. I said, man, there ain't no need for you to apologize. Ain't none of this your fault. He said, well, I just feel bad. He said, you're so young, and, you know, going to have to lose your leg. And then he turned around and he says, but I'm just an instrument. Ain't that what he said? Turned around and said, I'm just an instrument. And I thought to myself, woo! Amen. It's going to be all right. Amen. I don't know how it's going to go, but it's going to be just fine because this man knows his place and this man knows the one that's in charge. He might not act like it, but praise God, I know he knows it because he's done admitted it. Amen. And I'm not worried about it.
Amen.
And I didn't worry about it.
Right.
I'm a practical person. What's going to be is going to be.
Amen.
In time of death, some people, they go on and they... And don't get me wrong, in death, I sorrow and I grieve over a lost loved one. But death is just a part of life. And my wife will tell you, I'm pragmatic like that, I guess. I don't go visit cemeteries.
Amen.
All that's there is the bones. Amen. All that's there has probably done turned to dust back to the earth from whence it came. But I just bask in the promise that ain't no grave going to hold my body down.
Amen.
Amen. And I can shout even when things don't look good. I get frustrated. But then God reminds me of whose I am. And I need to get my praise on to get past my circumstances. Lastly, we can only praise when we get Jesus on. We can only praise when we're willing to sacrifice those things. Give them up to God. Let go. It's amazing some of the things that people are unwilling to sacrifice. Bad relationships, bad health, problems in the family. Man, they'd rather hold on to that and bask in that and dwell in that than they would to just let it go and give it to God. Offer the sacrifice of praise continually. But look at what he says. Look at what he says. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I have a lot of people say, well, Pastor, I just can't get loud. I'm just a private person, and I just do it in my heart, and I just do it on the inside. That's not what the Word of God says to do. He says to offer him the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, unto his name. David said, with my whole heart, I will sing praises unto you. It come from the heart. It come from the realization of whose I am. It come from the realization of what I've had to give up. And you know, when you give everything up in this world for Jesus, you've given up nothing. His disciples said, man, we done left everything to follow you. God said, Jesus said, don't worry about it. You haven't given anything up.
That's right.
Amen. It's all his. That's right, Brother Rick. He says, you haven't given anything up. He said, but you need to get loud. You know why the world doesn't want to have what you have? Because they don't see anything out of you worth having. Problems come your way. Oh my. Oh me. What am I going to do? Poor me. Poor me. Poor me. Me, 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 me. You know what's right in the middle of sin?
I.
Amen. When we get an I problem, it'll keep us from praising. Amen. It'll keep us from shouting. It'll keep us from wanting to just get happy in the service. Man, I've been in some services where they literally shouted the house down. Man, we had one here back in February. Amen. In that youth revival, some folks got uninhibited and were willing to give the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of their lips, to the glory of God. Verse 19. Look at what it said. Last part of the verse. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Their praise wasn't hid in their heart. Their praise was visible. Their praise was audible. Their praise was acknowledged by all those around them. They could tell that there was a praise going on. Amen. Somebody done got their praise on over there. I can tell because I can hear the shouting. I can hear the glories going up. I can hear the praise gods. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on in there. Can you imagine that army that was encamped around Jerusalem? I was camped around God's people. When God's people began to praise, they would have had to wonder what in the world is going on with those crazy people up there. Nothing, they're just praising God. Amen. Nothing, they're just shouting the house down. Mm-hmm. Nothing, they're offering the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of their lips. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears and weeping. There's nothing wrong with it. Just welling up in your heart. But the Bible commands it. By him, therefore, let us, not the preacher, let us, not Sister Mary Overjoy, let us, not Brother Ben been praising. Let us. Let us. Amen. Offer a sacrifice of praise. Yes. The house of God has become far too quiet. I've been to some funerals that were more lively than some church services I've been in. Amen. 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 And that's no lie. But he said, with a loud voice, they praise God on high. With a loud voice, praise Jesus. With a loud voice, by him, therefore, you're not going to praise until you get Jesus first and foremost in your life, till you put on Jesus. Amen. Until you're willing to sacrifice the things that are keeping you from being able to praise the way that you should praise. Until you learn praise. That's why we need to praise continually. It teaches us to praise. I think last week I sent you about Aunt Lessie. That poor old soul, I don't care what happened. She got up, she praised God. She sat down, she thanked God. She walked across the room, she thanked God. You know what that is? That's praising God continually. You got up this morning, thank God. You had some aches and pains, praise God. He lets you know you're still alive. Amen. Praise his name. You face some problems today, praise God, because you know he's going to bring you through them. You fall off a roof, you praise God because nothing got broke. Amen. I know what he's talking about. Me and my nephew was working on a post driver. I don't know if you know what a post driver is. Drives fence post. You don't drill a hole. You drive fence post in the ground. And this was an old one, and I was getting ready to do something. I thought he'd done cut my thumb off. The thing slipped, and yeah, I was just like Brother Charles. Look at it, it's throbbing. I'm saying, thank God. Thank God. It's still there. Yep. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. You know, you can praise God. Amen. And you can thank God. Even when you don't think it's possible. Even when circumstances seem insurmountable. Don't forget whose you are. Don't forget what he's promised unto you. And don't forget what he wants from you to get your praise on. Stand our feet tonight.